Good morning. I ask that you please take your Bible, turn to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6, you can put your marker there. We're going to do most of our study there in Matthew chapter 6 this morning. While you're turning there, I'd like to say thank you for being here. It's a wonderful day to worship God, a wonderful day to be with our church family. Matthew chapter 6, start reading with me in verse 9. In that verse, Jesus says this: "Pray then in this way: Our Father who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen." I want to begin this morning by asking you a question. And that question is this: does prayer work? Does prayer really work? When I get down on my knees and I make my petition of God, does He hear me? Does it work? Does that prayer really make any difference in my life or in this world or in the lives of others? Does prayer really work? And I imagine that in this audience on a Sunday morning, our knee-jerk reaction to that question is going to be, yes, of course prayer works. Who would ever question that prayer works? Annetta Hastings asked me this morning, she said, "I didn't realize that was even up for debate." But I want to show you that the answer that Jesus gives us is actually a little bit more complicated than that. The correct answer to that question, does prayer work, is sometimes. Sometimes prayer works. Now, before you walk out of this assembly and say, "I'm done with that church, I'm done with that preacher," hear me out. Look a few verses before in Matthew 6 and verse 5, where Jesus says this: "When you pray, you are not to be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and on the street corners so that they may be seen by men. Truly, I say to you, they have their reward in full. But you, when you pray, go into your inner room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you." And I want you to see something in those verses, that Jesus talks about the prayer of the Pharisees, a prayer where they go out on the street corner and they make long, beautiful prayers to God just so that men will see them and praise them. And Jesus says they have their reward in full. And what that means is they may get some kind of praise from men. Men may say, "Look, that guy's awesome. He's really spiritual." But they aren't going to get a reward from God. They have their reward in full. God's not going to do anything with that prayer. So what I want you to see is that the Bible teaches us, Jesus teaches us, is that there are ways to pray that are ineffective. But there are also ways to pray that are tremendously effective. And so for a few moments this morning, I want to talk to you about what Jesus says in Matthew chapter 6. I want to talk about how Jesus tells us to pray prayers that really work. Prayers where God listens. Prayers that make a difference. Give me a few moments of your time, if you will, and I'll share with you a few things that Jesus teaches us about how to make the most of our prayer lives, about how to pray prayers that really work. Really do work. And the first thing I want to point out to you is this: prayer that works is prayer that has God as the intended audience. Prayer works when God is the intended audience, when I am truly focused on talking to Him and making my petition before Him. You'll notice, if you look again at Matthew 6 and verse 5, that is Jesus' primary complaint against the Pharisees, is that they pray on those street corners to be seen by men. This is not about God. Their hearts are not tuned to a spiritual frequency. Their prayers are nothing about God and everything about men and about being seen by men. And Jesus says that kind of prayer is not the kind of prayer that works. When I pray prayers and all I'm thinking about is what people think of me and what I'm saying, that's not the kind of prayer that works. Have you ever struggled with that? You ever struggle with saying a prayer and you're saying it in front of people and you want so badly to not look silly. You want so badly for people not to think you're unspiritual. And all you can think about the entire time that you're supposed to be praying a prayer to God is, What do these people around me think about what I'm saying? That's the kind of prayer. That's the kind of prayer that doesn't work. And Jesus adds something interesting to that discussion. Look at what he says in verse 7 of Matthew 6. Matthew 6 and verse 7, he says, "And when you are praying, do not use meaningless repetition as the Gentiles do, for they suppose that they will be heard for their many words. So do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him." And so Jesus says, look, the Pharisees have their problems with prayer, but the Gentiles do too. He said the Gentile uses meaningless repetition. In other words, when the Gentiles would pray, they saw it as some kind of mystical ritual. Like prayers were some kind of incantation that you had to repeat just the right words in order to get the desired result. And so you repeated the same words over and over and over and over and over again, repetitiously, thoughtlessly. And that's how prayer works. And Jesus says that's not how it works at all. Their prayers were thoughtless. Their prayers were empty and vain. And therefore, their prayers don't accomplish anything. I wonder, have you ever struggled with that? Where you fall into a rut where you just kind of say the same thing over and over and over again. Where you bow on your knees and you start talking to God. And before you know it, 5 minutes are up and you can't even remember what you were doing. Do not use meaningless, vain repetition as the Gentiles do. They will not be heard for their many words. Jesus is showing us that prayer doesn't work when prayer is like that. Prayer doesn't work when I'm doing it mindlessly or thoughtlessly. Prayer doesn't work when I'm doing it just to be seen by men. That prayer really works when God is the intended audience. I want you to notice how Jesus, when he prays the model prayer in verse 9 of Matthew 6, I want you to notice how he starts. He says, "Pray then in this way, our Father who is in heaven." His prayer starts with an address. His prayer starts by saying, this is the person to whom I am praying. And he wants to make sure his disciples understand that when they pray, God is the audience. He is the one that matters. He is the one to whom we are praying. It's been really interesting as a parent to start to teach your child how to pray. Where you get down to those fundamentals and you start thinking about the very basics of what prayer is and how it's done. It's very, very interesting. I'll tell you, one of the things that Leah has really impressed upon Ellison is that whenever she says her prayers, she always has to start her prayers. That it's not good enough for her to just break into prayer saying, thank you for this and thank you for this and please help me for this and please help me for this. That she needs to start her prayer. She needs to start by saying, dear God. Because she needs to understand that when we pray, we're not just saying words. We're not just asking for stuff. We are talking to somebody. We are praying to somebody. Prayer is an act of worship. And so when we pray, we need to be focused on God. We need to be focused on worshiping God. We need to be focused on the fact that He is our audience. That prayer is not something I do for God, but something I do to God. In Psalm 69, verse 13, the Bible tells us, "But as for me, my prayer is to you, O Lord, at an acceptable time. O God, in the greatness of your loving kindness, answer me in your saving truth." Prayer is something we do to God, not something we do for God. And I need to remember that when I bow my knees, if I really want my prayer to work, that God is the only audience that matters. That whenever I'm praying over dinner, no matter who's at the dinner table, God is the audience. Or whether I'm in my room and I'm all by myself, God is the audience. Or whether I'm leading a public prayer in front of all of you, God is the audience. Not you, not me. And Jesus tells us that you want to say prayers that work, prayers that actually move the Almighty God. God is the intended audience. I want you to notice something else that Jesus says. Something else that he tells us helps prayer work. He says this. He says prayer works when it is persistent. Matthew 6 and verse 9 again, Jesus says, "Pray then in this way, Our Father who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And I want you to notice how important it is that Jesus says that there in verse 11. He says, give us this day our daily bread. And I think there's an implication there, right? The implication that this is something I'm going to be doing, what? Every single day. This is a daily activity, something I need to be doing all the time, persistently and consistently. But I think we ought to appreciate more than that. Let me add another layer to this. Will you go to Luke 11 with me? Will you go to Luke 11 with me? And Luke 11 helps us see that prayer isn't just something we should do daily, but prayer is something we should do persistently. That when I'm asking God for something, when I am requesting that God will do something in my life or help me with something, I need to ask Him for that thing over and over and over and over and over again. That's what Luke 11 teaches us. One of my favorite parables in the Bible starts in verse 5, where Jesus says this. Then He said to them, suppose one of you has a friend and goes to him at midnight and says to him, friend, lend me 3 loaves. For a friend of mine has come to me from a journey and I have nothing to set before him. And from inside, he answers and says, do not bother me. The door has already been shut. My children and I are in bed. I can't get up and give you anything. I tell you, even though he will not get up and give him anything because he is his friend, yet because of his persistence, he will get up and give him as much as he needs. That's got to be one of the best parables in the entire Bible. Did you catch what was going on there? There's a man who has a visitor coming from out of town, and this guy is irresponsible, right? He doesn't have his house together. He doesn't have any food to give his visitor who's coming from out of town. So he goes to his neighbor's house, and he knocks on his door in the middle of the night, and he says, hey, I need some bread. And his neighbor says, dude, go back to sleep, right? I'm in my house, my kids are in bed, I'm already in bed, I've turned on Netflix, day is over. I'm not giving you anything. And the parable says that the guy stays at the front door and he just keeps knocking over and over and over and over and over again. And Jesus says, and he won't give him anything because he's a friend, but he'll give him something because he's annoying, right? He'll give him something because he is persistent, because he just won't stop knocking on the door. And that's why this is one of my favorite parables in the entire Bible. Jesus is saying, that's the attitude that you need to take to prayer. You need to come to prayer like an annoying next door neighbor, right? You need to keep asking over and over and over again. In fact, in Luke 11 and verse 9, the next verse, Jesus says this, so I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. And I think a lot of times we interpret that passage wrong, partially because it's kind of translated badly, at least in the New American Standard. But if you go back in the Greek, the more proper way to render that would be this. So I say to you, keep asking and it will be given to you. Keep seeking and you will find. Keep knocking and it will be open to you. And so you see that passage there in Luke 11 and verse 9. It's not giving us a 100% guarantee on all of our prayer requests. You know what it's doing? It's telling us to be persistent in our prayers. It's telling us that when you need something from God, keep asking Him. When you need something from God, never stop knocking on the door. Ask Him over and over and over and over again. Jesus teaches us that prayer works when prayer is persistent. That we are not to be the kind of people who, when we have a trouble or when we need something from God, we get on our knees, we pray one prayer, we throw up our hands and say, well, I prayed, we'll see what happens. That's not the picture we get. When we look in the New Testament, we see that God asked us in our prayers to be persistent. And there are a lot of interesting passages about that in the New Testament if you look at it. In Romans 15 and verse 30, and write these down if you're interested in this. They're very good verses. Romans 15 and verse 30, Paul tells the Romans, he asked them to continue striving with him in prayer. What does it mean to strive? It means to fight. It means to claw. And we don't think about prayers like that, do we? But that's how Paul says it. Keep striving with me in prayer. Keep clawing. Keep fighting with me in prayer. He says this, Paul says this in Colossians 4 in verse 12, regarding a man named Epaphras. He says, Epaphras is laboring for you in prayer. Laboring for you in prayer. And then we know this one, James 5 and verse 16, James writes about the effective prayer of a righteous man. And that word effective there in the Greek is the Greek word energio. And so James might as well be saying that the energetic prayer of a righteous man accomplishes much. Brothers and sisters, when you read the New Testament, you get a picture. You get a picture of persistent, fervent, laborious, energetic prayer. And what Jesus tells us is that if we really want to move the great God of heaven, if we really want him to work for us, then we need to be persistent, striving, laborious in the way that we pray to him. Jesus says that kind of prayer is the kind of prayer that moves God. And the question is, why is that? Why does God want me to be persistent in my prayer? And I think it's very simple. I think the answer to that is because persistence in prayer is evidence of great faith. Don't you think so? You think back to that parable in Luke chapter 11, right? The parable of the annoying neighbor. He comes to his neighbor's door and he knocks on the door and he asks for bread. Why? He asks for bread because he knows his neighbor has bread. And when his neighbor sends him away and says, I can't give you anything, he stays right there at the door and he keeps knocking on the door. Why? Because he knows without a doubt there's bread in that house. He knows he's persistent because he knows the man inside can meet his need if I can just annoy him enough to get out of bed. Brothers and sisters, when we are persistent in our prayers, that's exactly what we're communicating to God. We believe the same thing about him. When we are persistent in our prayers, we are telling God, I believe without a doubt that you can meet my need. So when you persistently pray for strength and temptation, you're telling God, I know that you can do this. And when you pray to God for the spiritual well-being of your children, whether they're at home or whether they're grown and they've left the faith, you're telling God, I know that you can do something about this. And when you pray to God for healing in your marriage, you're telling God, I know you can do something about this. Or when you're praying for him to help you overcome an illness, you're telling him, I know that even when the doctors say there's nothing we can do, there's something God can do. When we are persistent in our prayer, we send a constant and clear message to God that we know he can help us. And Jesus says, that's the kind of prayer. That's the kind of prayer that really works. The kind of prayer that really moves the God of heaven. And let me say this finally. There's one more thing that Jesus teaches us that we ought to recognize. He tells us this, that prayer works. Prayer works when it exalts the will of God. You know, one of the cardinal arguments that the atheist or the skeptic may use against the existence of God is that prayer doesn't work. You ask any of those leading irreligious people like Sam Harris or Richard Dawkins, and one of the things that they're going to tell you about why they don't believe, why people shouldn't believe, is because God doesn't answer prayer. In fact, it's not just the leading atheists and skeptics who think that. There are a lot of Christians who start to feel that way too. I prayed for something and God didn't come through for me. I prayed for something and God didn't answer me. How can I believe that God is there if he didn't answer my prayer? And some lose their faith. Some lose their faith because God doesn't answer prayer, at least so they say. Of course, that line of reasoning rests on a fundamental flaw. Something that this world doesn't understand, that Christians ought to understand about prayer, is that prayer is not a blank check. Prayer is not me bowing on my knees and saying, God, I'm asking you for something, now you gotta give it to me. That's not what prayer is. Prayer is where we ask God, where we ask Him to help us in this life, where we ask Him to do things for us, to strengthen us. Prayer is also where we exalt and praise God. But we have to remember this, that in prayer, Jesus teaches us this, that God's will matters more than His desires. That's what Jesus teaches us in His prayer. Go back to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 9. I want you to notice what Jesus prays for in His prayer. Matthew 6 and verse 9. Pray then in this way, Our Father who is in heaven, hallowed be Your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For Yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. When Jesus tells us how to pray, when He tells us how to talk to God, what does He pray for? He prays for, above all else, that God's will be done. And He prays for spiritual things. Did you notice that? He prayed that Your kingdom come, that this world would recognize the authority of God. He prayed Your will be done, that God would accomplish His purposes here on this earth. He prayed for the forgiveness of sins, and He prayed that God would help His people stay away from temptation. He's praying for spiritual things, for things that are in accordance with God's will. And somebody says, He did pray for His daily bread. And maybe that is a physical thing, but I'm going to come back at you and I'm going to say the only reason He prayed for daily bread was so that He could have the sustenance He needed to have the strength to go out and do God's will here on this earth. Jesus is praying for spiritual things. He does not bow in prayer and ask for new sandals or a chariot or a boat or a better house or more money. Jesus prays for the will of God to be done. And he understands that God's will matters more than His desires. And I think we need to understand that about prayer. We need to pray like that. We need to pray in a way that understands and exalts the will of God, that God's will matters more than my desires. And I think that's going to have two outgrowths of it. I think first of all, that's going to lead us to pray for things in a more mature way, to pray for more mature things. That's going to lead us that when we sit down and when we pray, well, maybe we'll spend a little bit less time praying that God will give me physical possessions, praying that God will help me in some physical earthly way. And maybe I need to start praying for more spiritual things. God, help my marriage. God, lead me to some soul today. God, help me to use this day to glorify You. How about instead of spending our prayer time asking for things that make my physical life better, how about I spend more time asking for things that help me accomplish God's will here on this earth? That kind of prayer. That kind of prayer is the kind of prayer that works. And that means something secondly. It means that I will be more mature about what I pray for. But it also means this, that when I pray for things that are my desires, I will respect that God's will is more important than that. Jesus gives us the perfect example, of course, when He's praying before He's crucified in the Garden of Gethsemane, when He said, Father, if You're willing, remove this cup from Me. That was His desire. Yet not My will, but Yours be done. We need to understand when we pray that God's will matters more than what I want. And so even if I don't get what I want, even if God doesn't say yes to my request, that doesn't mean that prayer didn't work. It just means that God's will matters more than my desires. Jesus teaches us that prayer really works. Prayer really works when it exalts the will of God. Brothers and sisters, it is an amazing thing, something that never ceases to amaze me, that God hears our prayers. But it's also important for us to appreciate that prayer works when we do it the way Jesus tells us to do it. Prayer works when God is the intended audience. Prayer works when it is persistent, and prayer works when we understand that God's will matters much more than my desires. And when I can say prayers like that, prayer really works. The Bible also tells us that there's something else that can get in the way of our prayers, that can keep our prayers from getting to God. The Bible tells us that sin gets in the way sometimes. That if I am a sinful person, that my prayers do not reach God and He cannot help me because my sins have made a separation between me and my God. But the Bible tells us that there's a remedy for that. The Bible tells me that if I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and I'm willing to repent of my sins, which caused Him to go to the cross in the first place, and confess that belief before men, I can be baptized in water, to have my sins washed away. I can rise to walk in newness of life, clean, holy, free from sin. And having been cleansed from sin, God will hear my prayers. If we can help you with that, or if you have any other need, we invite you to come to the front while we stand and while we sing.